This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
How dare you? You're dead to me, by the way.
You got us a big Islanders win. You good luck, baby. That avatar gets changed. All of a sudden, you're rooting for the Islanders.
He changed it to some man in an Islanders jersey, and he has photoshopped my picture in there. That is disrespectful. That is disgusting. That is without my consent. And how dare you do something like that? I'm going to get my people to go after you, and you will not like what happens.
This is DCR.
And welcome aboard.
I am TJ. I am Nico.
On 98.7 ESPN.
What have I become? My sweetest friend.
The jealousy that I have to deal with on an hour-to-hour basis is shocking. I have some good news, though, Rick. You're going to be very pleased with this. You ready?
Yeah, what is it? Let's hear it.
The three stars of the day, we do at 7:55.
Yep.
Right? Every day?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a big sponsor attached to it right now.
Ooh.
Big sponsor attached to it right now.
Look at Santiago.
That's right.
Sponsors. I like it, Santiago. Now, Raymond, boy.
I mean, we give you the platform with three stars. Do you think you're going to wind up getting paid for this now?
I highly doubt that. I very much doubt that I will ever see a dime for this. And if there's even a possibility that I could get an extra dime for this, they'll put a stop to that right away.
I don't like your chances.
You think they'll steal your money? Is that what you're saying?
No, they'll just make sure that I don't get any money.
Wow.
You can't steal what's never yours.
Exactly. Wow. It's not stealing. It's just... it's pushing money in a different direction, is what it is.
Right. That's what you want to call it?
There is zero direct. I'll burgle a house. Redirecting is what it is.
Exactly right. Here's the money. Where it's supposed to go isn't necessarily where it's going to go. We'll disperse it in different areas.
That's right. That's exactly what will happen. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. But I thought that was big news. I was excited to see that.
For Santy, especially with how bad they've been. Yeah, this is a huge step.
Surprised that someone would want to attach themselves to that. Like a guy that we haven't even defined. I asked him last week what exactly goes into the three stars, and his response, I believe, was, quote, whatever I want it to be.
I mean, I think that was accurate. I don't see anything wrong with it.
But aren't they supposed to be positives? Like, you come up with negatives all the time.
Listen, I don't know. In all honesty, I think, I'll be frank with you, I thought it was very boring when it was all positive. The three of you seem to, and some of you more than others, but y'all seem to thrive on a little bit of the negativity that goes on here. So, I mean, look at what you did in the first hour. Look who we just did. You guys are having a war over Twitter avatars.
Well, because he's a bad guy.
Is he the bad guy?
Yeah.
Are we sure about this?
Well, hang on a second. How am I the bad guy?
I didn't say you were. I'm just saying, are we sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, he's the bad guy, but it's a good thing for our show.
It may be a good thing for our show, and it may be entertaining. But, Santy, when you look at this, you see anybody but Rick being the bad guy in this scenario?
I'm just saying some things are open for debate.
Mm.
God, there are so many things I could buy right now to attack you with. And with you, Dave, master debate.
I'm the best.
The best in the business. I've never seen anything like it.
No, just the best. Phenomenal. Been practicing for years. All right, 800-919-3.
Imagine that.
No,
you that's happened. I've read stories. I think I might have done DHIP stories on that.
I never heard that.
Well, remember we did the. How about Dave? How about we did the Gorilla Glue story?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where I'm gonna keep these hairs now with some Gorilla Glue. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
No.
The more you see what people are capable of doing, the more you're shocked by the human race, aren't you?
Yeah, but at this point, I mean, I think we've seen enough. Are we shocked at this point?
But you still
we continue to be amazed
story.
By the stories that come out of Florida, Rick.
You still get the occasional story. Yeah. Like, he did what?
You should see some of the ones I get sent. But I mean, we got our listeners are awesome. Like, I'll get hit up with DHIP stories all the time. And they're like, you got to read this one. And then I'll read it. I'm like, no, I cannot. There's no way I can read this one. It's too disturbing.
No, you should do it. You should really start to push the envelope.
No.
All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get back into the Brooklyn Nets. I want to get into the 76ers as well, but let's hear from James Harden after Game 7. How's he feeling after he really pushed himself in Game 6 and 7?
So many emotions.
but just me personally, like, it's frustrating for myself, you know, just being durable and being myself for the last so many postseasons and just dealing with this particular hamstring. It's frustrating, you know. I'm frustrated. We did everything we could, just, you know, towards the end. Just frustrated, but, you know, give the Bucks credit. They fought into the end, had a hell of a series. We just came up short.
Very frustrating. That's the only word I can use to describe what they just did. It's got to be heartbreaking. It's got to be frustrating, and it's a blown opportunity tremendously for Brooklyn.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you, Dave, in order to win a championship, you got to be both lucky and good. There's a lot that goes into it, and the health thing is something that it feels like was out of their control. And the injuries mounted up, and it just became something that this team couldn't overcome, especially because they're so top-heavy. But, I mean, after Saturday's game, I was thinking to myself, like, Kevin Durant had an otherworldly performance, and yet he still wasn't able to get his team to the conference finals. It gives you a newfound appreciation for what LeBron James has been able to do, going to 8 straight NBA finals. I mean, even if you don't win the championship in that year, just being able to get your team to that, no matter what else is happening around you, I mean, that's another level, Dave. It really is. And so I couldn't help but think that on Saturday night. Like, it's unbelievable what LeBron James has really been able to do. And Rick made this point last year after the Lakers won the title. He said LeBron James is a dynasty unto himself. I mean, to me, what happened to the Brooklyn Nets this year just reiterates that point.
I mean, what's happening in the NBA, too? I mean, this has turned into a battle of attrition is what it's turned into. I mean, seriously. I mean, you got no Kawhi with the Clippers. You got Chris Paul out because of COVID.
You didn't have protocols. Anthony Davis.
No Anthony Davis. LeBron was nicked up with his ankle. I mean,
Harden,
name it.
Kyrie.
Exactly. Harden, Kyrie. And that's another reason,
too. Embiid is not
Embiid's
right. Danny Green.
Mentally, I don't know where the hell, you know, Ben Simmons at this point. I mean, you got Trae Young. He's defending you. You're going to stop you from dunking? Stop it. And you pass it? Come on, man.
Oh, we'll get there. If you're a 76ers fan, you have to be beside yourself this morning.
You wouldn't use what happened to James Harden this year at the end of the season as another example of sports karma? Guy's never hurt. Never hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this year where he's got the best chance to win a championship, he forces his way out, comes out of shape, does what he does to get out of there. Now all of a sudden now he's got a grade 2 hamstring strain. Come on.
And you know there are a ton of people that are thrilled with what happened to Brooklyn. Thrilled. Because unless you're a Nets fan, I see a lot of people looking at that team as very unlikable.
Yeah, they're very unlikable, which I mean, let's be honest, is why you'd want them in the NBA Finals.
Mm. Oh, I think it would be a great storyline.
TV ratings is what you want. I mean, that's what these networks want.
By the way, the wager with Carlin now null and void. Done.
It's disgusting.
Wasn't that embarrassing from them?
My God.
You lead the game by 26 points. They don't have their best player, and you lose it? Oh, pathetic.
An embarrassment. It really is. I mean, it is. Donovan Mitchell, though, was another one. I mean, he was nicked up,
too. He was hurt, too. Mike Conley was out. I don't ever remember, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't ever remember a postseason in the NBA with this many injuries.
Oh, I mean, you saw LeBron's tweet about it. I mean, I don't know if
Which is a little ridiculous when you actually peel back the layers and think about it. I mean, saying that the injuries are because they started the season a little bit early and they didn't have a lot of rest time. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but LeBron is a part of the MBPA and they had to sign off on when the season started, right?
Yeah, but see, I don't buy into that whole thing, too, because I think once you lay out the numbers and how much money you're going to lose, that's when you really don't have a choice. I mean, you could say what you want and suggest it, but once, you know, Adam Silver brings out the numbers and say, hey, if we don't start on this date, this could be how much money you guys lose.
I'm agreeing with you, but I still don't think you can blame the NBA or the owners for being greedy as to why you're starting to see these rash of injuries throughout the end of the regular season and into the postseason. Like,
no,
you can't put
listen,
that on
I'm
the
not,
owners.
I'm not blaming
the players.
I'm not blaming
the players are
the
complicit.
Owners. No, I'm not blaming the owners. I mean, it all comes down to money. But I could see, you know, especially LeBron at his age only having, what was it, 71 days off before this season started?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, he kind of had a freak injury, too. It's not like he wore down. He had
No, Solomon Hill barreled into his knee.
Right? He had one of those weird injuries. And that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. And DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Greg in Brooklyn. Good morning, Greg. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, y'all, man? Listen, I'm gonna give y'all a brief history of this Nets garbage. I'm tight right now. So Kenny Atkinson, you cut me off whenever you're ready. Kenny Atkinson, he was here. He wanted to do that small ball garbage, right? He wanted 50 threes a game, 50 layups a game. I remember these interviews, right? Small ball, right? So, you know, we go into the playoffs, and, you know, we getting beat by guys that's 7 feet tall, and we got midgets in there going after rebounds. So now we get Kyrie and KD here, right? Mid-range killers. What happens? Kenny steps down. You know what I'm saying? He leaves. We get Steve Nash. All right, so now we got Steve Nash. Everything's cool. But now we got D'Antoni as assistant coach. So what you think is going to happen? It's D'Antoni now. He's also a small ball, three-point guy. But we don't really do that because we have KD and Kyrie here, mid-range jump shooters, right? So now we got DJ here, who DJ also is here because of KD and Kyrie. So what's the deal? Now we go into the playoffs, and DJ don't get any games. What's going on?
But Greg, DJ wasn't playing, I mean, towards the end of the season. I mean, he didn't play at all. Like, once you got Blake Griffin, and then they brought in LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, DJ was out of the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't playing. And you can deal with, like, Mike D'Antoni, yeah, he wants threes and layups, but you can deal with mid-range when it's KD and Kyrie and they're as efficient as they are.
Yeah.
What killed you was, I mean, James Harden was not James Harden. That killed you. That completely affected
injuries
the offense.
Injuries killed you. And game he didn't make three any killed you.
Like, look at his numbers yesterday. I mean, on Saturday. I mean, he was, in most of his threes were short because he had no legs under him. The offense ended up being, it was just, here's the ball. It ended up being, KD, here's the ball. Please go
Save
to work.
Us.
Yeah, to get out the way play. The get out the way play. Give it to seven. Get out of the way.
It almost
worked.
Griffin had a good game. Bruce Brown had a
He's tenacious, huh?
Yeah, he was. Especially I love watching that guy. Like, he plays with the exact kind of energy you need. But again, I mean, Joe Harris killed him. He did. Joe Harris killed him.
Yeah, if Joe Harris was average, Brooklyn wins that series. But he wasn't, and they didn't.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How did that go, by the way? Give me the staff first, but I want to know how that that went with just you and Ben by yourselves with the dogs.
So 4:15 Saturday morning, one morning I can actually sleep in. 4:15 here.
Yep.
And I just turn over like I didn't hear anything. Well, there was nothing.
Yep. Yep.
And it just progressively gets louder and louder. I'm like, fine. Take them out one time. And we don't usually feed them that early because then it makes them want to have lunch early and it throws the whole day off. But I'm like, listen, survival of the fittest. I'm solo here anyway. I got Ben, but he's not all that much help, especially at that hour. I'm just going to feed them. So I walk them. They go. I feed them. I'm like, you know what? It's 4:30. I'm golden here. I'm fine. I'll be able to sleep till 8 o'clock and 4:45 again. And screaming, shrieking, barking. Fine. They've just eaten. Maybe they now have to go again, take them out. Now they just want to play. Oh, and they act like they've never seen me before. Like this is the first time they've met me. They're so excited and they're jumping on me and they're jumping on each other and they're fighting and they're biting and I take them out again. And then again. And then again, 5 walks before 7:45 in the morning. 5. And then Ben wakes up at like 8:30. I say, what's going on? Good morning. I say, have you heard the commotion going on? And he turns to me. No, have the dogs been up? I'm like, you know what? Just, I hate you. Have the dogs been up? Yes,
okay, time out for a quick second. We can't, there has to be a way to create a space in your backyard that's fenced in, that they can go, like, you can let them out in that space and they can't eat anything that's going to get them sick.
They'll eat anything.
No, but but don't put anything in it. Like, there's nothing
we can
do.
They eat anything.
A metal fence they're not going to eat.
What are you going to put on the ground in this area?
What about AstroTurf?
They'll eat it.
What about stones?
They'll eat them, and then they'll
die.
Big
stones. Like, big stones.
They'll bite them. They'll rip their...
No.
A tooth fell out yesterday. Oh. They're eating rocks. All of a sudden, I look at him. I'm like, why are you bleeding from the mouth? He's eating a rock and his tooth fell out. You don't understand what I'm dealing with here.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you got to call Spike. Maybe Spike's going
to
come up.
I need the dog. Who's that guy, the dog whisperer?
You may need, Cesar Millan, but you may need more than that.
I need him. He could move in.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to help at this point. Like, I don't know what to I don't know what to tell you.
If I could just open the door and let them out, I would.
I would do it.
I would let them go.
Bye-bye. Have a good life. Yeah, go. You see freedom, you see green grass, go. Go, run, eat it, and go away from us. All right. Speaking of disappointment, speaking of embarrassing, speaking of just things not going the way you'd hope, Philadelphia, how do you lose that game? And to make matters worse, how awful was Ben Simmons? I don't even have the words to describe what a disappointment he was in this series. Here's the stat. 7 games this series went, all the way down to the wire in game 7. How many shots? Now, you might know and you might have seen it and you'll have the answer. How many shots in 7 fourth quarters do you think Ben Simmons took? Can't he?
I'm going to say...
Total shots.
Total shots. I'm going to say 8.
Okay. Rick?
I'm going to say less than that. I'll say in the 7 games.
7 games. 7 times 12, right? Which is what, 84? How many shots did Ben Simmons take in 84 minutes of fourth quarter action?
I'm going to say he took 4 shots.
Okay. Chris, you are unbelievably over. And Rick, you're number 4, also over.
3?
He took 3 shots.
I was going to go 3.
How many shots, one further, did he take in games 4, 5, 6, and 7 in the fourth quarter?
0.
Chris?
I'm going to go 1.
Rick, you are correct.
He
did not attempt 1 field goal.
Unbelievable.
He took the same amount of shots as the 3 of us in games 4, 5, 6, and 7. And to make matters even worse, he passed up a dunk last night in the fourth quarter. I can't believe how you could be a Philly fan this morning and wake up and not want to throw up everything that you've eaten for the last week.
And that was Trae Young, too, on that dunk. That was Trae Young that was going to come and contest the shot, and he passed it.
Yep.
Dave, he took 4 shots the entire game. The entire game. He's supposed to be your second best player. He took 4 shots the entire game.
Can we stop with this narrative? You are not winning a championship with Ben Simmons as your point guard. You're just not.
Oh, you heard Doc Rivers after the game. I mean, he wouldn't even commit to it. I can't answer that question.
Let's take a listen. You're right. Here is Doc Rivers. Can Simmons be a point guard on a championship team?
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Wow.
Well,
Ben Simmons is falling
out
of favor with Doc Rivers. Like, that's not Doc's guy. Like, I mean, I know that Ben Simmons and Brett Brown, there was something there in terms of that relationship. But, I mean, this is the exact polar opposite. I mean, Doc Rivers wanted the offense to run through Joel Embiid, and I think he's justified based on the season that Embiid has had. But, I mean, Ben Simmons is a liability when it comes to the offensive end of the floor. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. You can't be in a situation where your primary ball handler can't shoot. I mean, down the stretch of games, he's a liability. You saw what the Hawks did yesterday. I mean, they decided they were going to foul Ben Simmons at the end of that game and put him at the free throw line. And let's see how that works out for the Sixers. I mean, so it's one of those situations where in order for this team to get past this point, they're going to have to make a hard decision about Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I don't know if it's all that hard at this point. I mean, you know, as good as he is defensively, and I hear all that
stuff.
Doesn't
matter.
He's great defensively. I mean, in situations like this, especially with Joel Embiid, I mean, he's your guy. Like, outside of injury concerns, Joel Embiid is the guy that you want to build around. I mean, it's like Ben Simmons is a guard, but he scores the same way as a center. Like where he needs to score from is where a center would need to score from. Like, that's where he needs to score, and he's supposed to be your point guard.
But how are we this far into his NBA career and he can't shoot the ball at all?
Because he doesn't care. He is who he said to you after the game, I am who I am. Like, it's obviously something that he's not overly concerned about. Otherwise, why wouldn't you try to get better? I mean, Jason Kidd got better, didn't he? He wasn't a good shooter when he first got into the league.
Yeah. Do you remember when the Spurs won the championship over the Knicks and the thought with Avery Johnson was, God, he can't shoot at all? And he was fine from like 15, 17. Rondo was never a great shooter. I've never seen any point guard ever, who has less offensive game than Ben Simmons.
But it's not even that, though. It's like, just be aggressive then. I mean, I understand if you can't shoot. Like Giannis doesn't shoot well.
Not at all.
And actually, I'll tell you what, watching
but better than
that,
this.
But in that game seven, he banked in that in the third quarter. He banked in that three, and I was like, oh no, the Nets don't got a chance. He's making banked in threes. This is night night.
But Simmons won't even take it.
No, but because it's in his head. Something he does not want to take free throws. Like he does, like, for some reason, he feels like
he will do anything in his power to avoid going to the foul line.
Yes. Dave, we had someone on that told us. We asked the question. It was a college basketball analyst we had on that said that he wouldn't shoot in practice. Like, he would not practice his shot in front of his teammates. Like, he'd go to the private side of the gym and shoot because he was embarrassed.
If you can't do it in practice with your teammates, you're not going to do it in the game.
No. When he's not,
they showed a video. Did you see the video the other day of him warming up? We had like these little one-handed bunnies. He couldn't, like, just bricks off the glass.
It's really a waste.
At this point, it has to be mental, though, right? It's not even just for a lack of trying or not wanting to work on it. Like, this is coming down to some sports psychology stuff. Like, there's no way that a guy that can be such a great athlete can be this bad at shooting. This bad? To the point where he won't even try?
No, he passes up on wide open looks just because he's fearful of getting fouled. Is where
he passed
we are
up
now.
On a dunk yesterday, Dave.
Yeah, I never
he decided that, he wanted to dish it to Matisse Thybulle.
That was incredible. All right, let's hear from the left-handed wonder out of Australia. Here is Ben Simmons. Do you feel like you've played your last game in Philadelphia?
Hey, Ben, toward the end of the game, there were a few chants that were going out there asking trade Ben Simmons, stuff like that. Do you feel like you played your last few minutes here in Philadelphia?
I feel like we just lost game seven. That's about it.
All right, so he's not going to answer that one. Would you like to remain with the 76ers?
Yeah, I mean, I love being in Philly. You know, I love his organization. The fans are great, great people. I mean, I had a bad series. I expect that. It's Philly.
No, that's not just Philly. I mean, anywhere you would
have been. They got to reassess what they do with the draft process, like evaluating the psyche of their players. This is Ben Simmons now. Markelle Fultz, remember what happened with that?
Of course.
I'm sure they wish they could go back and have that pick back. Because that was the Tatum draft, right? The Jason Tatum draft?
Could you imagine Markelle if this team had Tatum?
Yeah.
Whew. Hey, but listen, if you love being in Philly and you love, I mean, that's, then you got to find a way to, I mean, get better. You got to work on it. You have to.
It doesn't look like he cares to. He's been in the league for years now at this point.
Well, if that's the case, then, I mean, they got Philly's got
to
make it.
You're telling me if you could somehow package something to bring in Lillard, you wouldn't do that.
I don't know at this point, though, Dave. I mean, I was reading an article this weekend that his trade value is decreased because of how bad he's struggling in the postseason.
Of course, it has to happen.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Everyone thinks RJ is just this great, wonderful, loving guy. You should hear what he just proposed to me at the commercial break. And somehow you guys will say, well, it's your own fault. I don't see how that's possible. So we're going away next week. And the dogs are staying with this woman that we have found that takes dogs into her home and watches them and treats them as her own. And RJ says, how about if the woman either misplaces them or sells them on your behalf, and when you come home, she's the scapegoat, and now the kids don't become angry with you for the dogs being gone. That's horrible.
That's not going to work out. Nah, because, I mean, there's no chance. Like, when Sherry finds that out, she knows right away what happened.
I think you're evil!
I think I'm going to wash my hands of this. I don't want to perform a wedding with someone who would do something like that.
Listen, I'm not saying I would do it, but you have drops. We just did half a segment on you wishing really awful things on the dogs.
I didn't wish. What awful things did I wish on the dogs?
You wish they'd run away and find green grass and go. You're talking about like they're Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, but I said if the door is open and they happen to go, listen, the end game of that is my hands are clean.
You're saying
like a black market underground, you know, have someone drive in the middle of the night to this woman's house and buy the dogs from her.
No, it all lines up. All I'm saying is an accident could easily happen. You're many miles away. Who knows what private island you're going to, flying charter. So while you're there.
Aruba.
Yeah. So while you're there, you know, things happen. How long are you going to be gone for? 8, 10 days?
You know what's
20,
pathetic about the both of you?
A year?
Chris, I'm sure you'll agree.
Yeah, that's good. Announce to everyone how long Dave's going to be away. That's great.
Yeah.
Good
idea. Why don't you get my home address as long as you're at it too, RJ? Yeah. And that the dogs won't be here to defend the house. Anything else you want to do?
There's no point.
No, really. Is there anything else you'd like to do?
There's really no issue because you have the Comrex. You offered to work from all locations, if I remember correctly.
You know what, Chris? This is why you and I have this relationship. The two of them are so far on the outside. Where you going? Aruba, where are you going? I've said 50 times we're going to Lake Placid.
Exactly. So what's the
50
harm?
50 times. And you're like, where's he going? One Happy Island? Where are they going? They know exactly where we're going.
With the Comrex, I hope.
I was trying to throw people off the scent. I knew you were going to Lake Placid. I wasn't going to tell everyone you're going to Lake Placid.
You could tell people I'm going to Lake Placid. What do I care? You think people are going to drive up to Lake Placid to meet to with the off chance of meeting me?
No, but I think there'll be people at Lake Placid that are on the lookout now.
Yeah, I'm sure this sleepy town in upstate New York, the whole town's going to be on the lookout in case I wind up walking down Main Street there.
No, I'm like, normally if they didn't know, they'd be like, oh, that guy kind of looks like Dave Rothenberg. And now it's going to know that is Dave Rothenberg because we know
fine.
He's in Lake Placid.
That's fine.
There's RJ, your plan, I get it. There's too many loose ends with that plan. Like, unless Dave is willing to make this lady disappear at some point, like, once it's
well,
done.
I got to make the woman disappear?
There's no choice.
That's why I draw the line. I don't get into that game.
But there's no choice. I mean, it's going to come back to bite you if that happens.
The fact you've already dropped that out there, you've already incriminated yourself.
I'm just trying to help him out.
That woman. They're going to come to you
RJ's
first.
You wonder why I have Nico and TJ on the side, because RJ, you're evil.
Can you imagine that dateline with Rick? It all started with a dog eating rocks, and it led to murder.
Yeah, that Chris Hansen will be at my house before I have
Rick, they'll make a Lifetime movie for you.
It'll be a 2020. I'll have David Muir, like, and exactly what happened with the dogs.
Wow.
No, I don't. Listen, you're the one that suggested it. I'm just trying to...
I didn't suggest that. It's all the depths of RJ. Can't wait for you to be a dad, RJ. Things get hard, a little colic, and all of a sudden, boom. How about we get rid of the child?
Or I could take after you and flee my family and stay in a hotel.
You could, listen, if the Niners have a traumatic loss, I think that's probably one of the better
goodness.
Ways to go after. Rick, do you want to give the money away now?
We have to do something. You two guys going at it. I mean, this is...
Right?
I thought you guys were close.
Gloves are off between Dave and RJ.
I did love RJ, but he's trying to break up my family.
Well, you went out and found TJ. It's not right what you did.
You're very offended. QR codes.
Well, if you didn't, it didn't have to be a TJ. I mean, you could.
I didn't name him.
But it's a letter away from RJ. Like, you could have found saying he looks kind of like him. He's a little bit tall. Like, you could have went something else.
Yeah, find AJ or something. Give me some breathing room in the alphabet.
Would this be the time to give away the cash?
Right now.
Right now. 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $250 cash. Again, it's 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through Wednesday of this week in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. hours for more chances to cash in, all from your home for the hookup, your good friends right here at 98.7 ESPN. All right, before we get to Canny Canty, Rick, your fancy Islanders. You know, every time I think they're about done, they fight their way back. I will tell you this. They are incredibly, incredibly resilient. And they've danced this dance against Pittsburgh, and they won. Boston, and they won. Down 2-1 to Tampa. Phenomenal win. Up 3-0. 3-2. Late stages. Incredible play at the end. They are a tremendous hockey team, and even me, the Rangers fan, cannot stand in the way of saying that right now.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me after they lost, you know, the previous game. I mean, they end up going to Tampa. They split, so they have home ice, and then, you know, immediately give it back. And you said, are you worried? And I said, no, we've seen this already. This happened in Pittsburgh with Pittsburgh, and it happened with the Bruins, and they found a way to, you know, to shake it off and win and end up winning those series. Now, I don't think this is going to be the same as those series because Tampa's a hell of a team. But and the second period was great. And it was a slow start to the second period. I mean, let's face it. It was not a – I think Tampa had the first six shots of that second period. But, you know, Bailey gets it going. They made some adjustments. You saw Palmieri moved up to the Barzal line, which I thought was a nice change, created some more offense. I mean, they got – the game that they lost, Tampa did a really good job. I mean, they played a better – they played a better Islanders game than the Islanders played.
Which, what, saying game three?
Game three.
Yeah.
Blocked a ton of shots. I mean, they were really good. They played a perfect road game. So the adjustment was going to be like, okay, we got to get shots through. Like, that's what we have to do. Like, enough. And they did. I mean, they got shots through. They had traffic in front of the net. I thought Clutterbuck was great. Nelson line was flying. Pellick was really good. And then you had, I mean, the iconic play was the Pulock play at the end of the game. Which is funny. He actually is the one that turned that puck over. He's the one that fanned on the rim, too, to give them to keep the puck in the zone where they got that chance. But he made an awesome play.
They never
awesome
stop, Tampa, huh? I mean, they're like Drago. Like, no matter what you do, they just never stop. Because that game, you're up 3-0 at home heading into the third period, and you think, you know what, we're going to – maybe they'll take their foot off the gas, and that'll be it, and they'll just kind of go through the final minutes. Boy, they are tough.
Well, they can score fast. But they can – I mean, they're deadly like that. Like,
how about that goal
fast
for Tyler Johnson? That was some goal, huh?
Well, it was a – yeah, I mean, both goals were good. They got too passive. And then, I mean, Barry Trotz calls a, you know, timeout in the perfect spot, kind of regroups the guys, and, you know, they got back to playing the way they need to play. I thought Varlamov was awesome again. I mean, the two chances late in that game, especially the Kucherov chance. I know we point to that – the McDonough spinorama as the play, but if Varlamov doesn't make that point-blank save on Kucherov, we don't even get to that point. Because God forbid, I mean, let's be honest. If that puck goes in, if that McDonough spinorama goes in and that game goes to overtime, dude, I don't know how you bounce back to play overtime at that point. You know what I mean? Like, if you're the Islanders, like,
Yeah, you probably have nothing left.
Well, I mean, you're going to be, like, that's to have a three-goal lead that you
but
you
I put
blow
I put nothing
left
past them. Like, how many times have we gotten here in this postseason where it's like, well, you know, now it's going to happen where it's all going to cave in and they're going to fall apart and they're down 2-1 or they're down this, they're getting outplayed, or they go to overtime game five in Pittsburgh, and every single time they answer the bell. So, listen, I don't enjoy it, but you got to take your hat off to what they've been able to do. So you say that, but I don't know. I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have come out and found a way to score a goal and still win that game five. Nothing or game four. Nothing puts it. Do I put past this team right now?
No, listen, I get what you're saying, and they're resilient and everything else. I'm just saying, like, this is, you've stepped up in class a little bit. Like, this is the defending Stanley Cup champions. Like, if all of a sudden you go into the third period and you give up three, and the last one being with seconds left, and now all of a sudden you're headed into overtime knowing that if we lose this game, this season is probably over, that's a tough spot to be in. That's a real tough spot to be in. Like, emotionally, like, now all of a sudden you got to try to regroup and go into overtime because you know that Tampa's coming out in the first 5 minutes of overtime. They're going to try to win immediately because they know exactly what you're going through. So, I mean, it was humongous. The play Pulock made was humongous. The saves Varlamov made down the stretch were huge. And now it's the best of three. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Tonight, 7:30 right here on 98.7
ESPN. As long as we have you rooting for us, I think we're in good shape.
Please. You couldn't buy my fandom for you right now.
I'll take the dogs. How's that?
For how long?
Forever.
Yeah, but I can't do that. My kids.
What do you mean? You just said I couldn't. You just thought about it.
Well, of course I give it thought because now I'm looking at more sleep, and that's a commodity at this point.
What happens if the dogs just decide that they fall in love with this lady that you're leaving them with? That could be your out.
The chance we're willing to take, but she's not going to take them.
She's not that crazy.
Well, I can't imagine she would be. When we get back from vacation, she's going to be like, oh, God, she's gonna be a wreck. That's her, like, hair is going to be going in a different direction. Dave, she's going to have bags under her eyes. This poor woman.
You've coached Little League, right?
Yeah,
you're still coaching. Yeah, so we had a couple coaches, and then we had the mothers decide, like, they would help out with the dugout in between innings.
What does that mean?
Well, no, like, because the kids, like, we're out on the field, right? Like, I'm pitching when we're up.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we have someone's coaching first base. So, like, to keep the kids... And they're young, like, to keep them, like, okay, who's up next? Like,
oh, okay, so
yeah, you know what
I'm
saying?
Like a bench coach,
like what you do, yeah. We every week, just mothers just quitting left and right.
Well, they don't want to do it, huh?
Yeah, we can't take it.
It's a lot.
Like flies, dropping like flies.
It's a lot. Now, you can get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all in America's largest, most dependable network. Straight Talk wireless compatible device required. See Straight Talk dot. Com. All right, it's everyone's favorite time on the show, and that is Little Kenny and Canty.
It's everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I feel like we got off to a bad start today, Dave. I want to start fresh and have the second half of the show go smoother.
Listen, I'm not opposed to where we've been. I'd like it to be a little smoother as well, but I'm okay to drop the gloves every once in a while.
I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not. All right. So you guys touched on it earlier. The Nets are out. They'll also be without Spencer Dinwiddie moving forward. He told Woj he will decline his $13 million option. Nets will be without him moving forward into the next season. Steve Nash said that Brooklyn faced one too many obstacles. That's where we start, Chris. Can you tell me, though, all those obstacles? You're talking about cohesiveness, health, things like that. Can you tell me that you expect things to be any different moving forward next season? I see a lot of these problems still existing in the future.
Well, here's what I will say. I mean, the obstacles will still be there. I don't think that the injury bug, though, is going to hit the Nets as hard as it did this season. Like, I mean, you're talking about the big three only playing 8 regular season games together. Like, I don't think that will be the case going into 2021-2022 season. I just don't see that. So I'm going to say that I do expect the Nets to get passes. I think they can, even though they'll be faced with some of the same potential pitfalls. I just think that it goes differently. Things break their way this next season as opposed to what we saw this postseason.
I respectfully disagree with Chris. I think you're going to have issues. Until this team actually goes out there and cuts down the Nets and wins a championship, I don't know. I mean, Kyrie Irving is a wild card. At any point could decide that, you know, he's going to take a break, hiatus. Harden is a guy that, as good as he is in the biggest moments of the postseason, we've never seen him come up huge. And Durant you love and you respect. But, you know, Nash I don't think was great in this series. And I think there's questions surrounding this team. They didn't get it done this year. I don't know about health next year. So, no, I can't say that, and I won't say that.
I agree with Chris. I understand all the things you're saying, Dave. But, again, I mean, the Nash stuff, this is his first year coaching. So he's learned a lot this season. He'll be better moving forward. And, I mean, I think for me the biggest thing I needed to see, and I think a lot of people needed to see, is what was Kevin Durant going to be? And I think he answered those questions.
He was phenomenal. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yep. I mean, they'll be the prohibited favorite. I mean, I don't care who wins the championship now. The Brooklyn Nets will still be the prohibited favorite to come out of the East next year.
Yeah, but they were the prohibitive favorite this year, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah, but that wasn't the team you saw in the postseason, though. Wasn't the same. That wasn't the Brooklyn Nets team.
No, it wasn't,
but
how do I know it's any different next year in the playoffs?
Oh, that they're going to be hurt?
Yeah.
Well, you don't, but I mean, listen, hopefully that's not the case, but I think that they've learned a lot from this little run that they were on, and I think they'll be better for it moving forward.
All right. The Yankees have won 5 of 6. Turned another triple play yesterday. Got Chapman.
That's three.
Got Chapman out of a lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. But they're off today. They start a 3-game set tomorrow at the stadium against the Kansas City Royals, who are not very good. So I'm not going to revert back to my World Series question that I was crushed for.
Well, because it was awful.
That's fair at this point. That's fair. Can the Yankees, I will revise it, the deficit in the division has shrunk. 4.5 games back of Boston, who currently leads the AL East. Can the Yankees still win the American League East?
RJ, I'm going to say they can. I mean, it's not outside of the realm of possibility. What a difference a week makes. I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. We're not even at the halfway mark of the season, and the Yankees won back-to-back series. We're hoping that they can keep it rolling against the Royals, and based on the Royals this year, there's no reason why that wouldn't happen. But, I mean, you feel good about where they're at. Gary Sanchez is white hot. He's carrying the offense, and you're hoping that some of the other guys can come along and join him. But, I mean, that was a good Oakland A's team that you beat this weekend in Yankee Stadium. That was a good team. So, I mean, to be able to take 2 or 3 right there, to be able to sweep the Blue Jays the series prior to that, I'm going to say the opportunity is there for the Yankees. Yes.
It's a good question, RJ. Much better than the, are they going to win the World Series a couple weeks ago? They were 9 games out last week. They're 4.5 games out. You don't typically see that much of a deficit cut in the course of a week. I still don't trust them. I still don't believe in this team. I still think they have way too many holes. I still think they strike out way too much. I'm going to say they can't, but I will say that I believe in them a lot more today than I did a week ago from right now. But I will say they cannot win this division.
You see what Tampa did? I mean, they've been struggling so much. They called up Wander
six
Franco.
In a row, right?
Yeah, they called up their top prospect. I mean, he's a top prospect
Wander
in
Franco,
baseball.
That's right.
Yep. I'm actually looking forward to seeing him play. I think they can. Now, the one thing I will put a caveat, their starting pitching isn't, outside of Garrett Cole, is a problem.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it's a problem. So, I mean, I think what this does now, though, because Cashman and Boone challenge them. Let's see what you're made out of. And I think they've shown you something. Comeback wins. They're doing a bunch of stuff right now that would lead me to believe that it's going to push Cashman to do something. Like, he's got to do something. Like, they've given him a reason to believe, okay, this is possible. Now there's some things that need to be fixed here with this team.
The Mets, Jacob DeGrom back tonight after leaving his last start after three innings. So I assume he will be great as long as he's out there. So I'll ask you this, though. By the time the Mets are done playing tonight, can you tell me the Mets will feel good about their decision to keep DeGrom on track and send him out for his normal start tonight?
No, I can't say that with any degree of confidence, RJ. I mean, you're talking about back-to-back starts where he's had to have an early exit, and he's been dealing with things off and on for the last month and a half. I don't agree with the decision to put him out there for the first game of the doubleheader today. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I just felt like you take the conservative approach and you shut him down for a start, maybe two, and you see where you're at. But the fact that they're not doing that, I feel like it's a roll of the dice. So I can't say that the Mets are going to feel good after Jacob DeGrom's start today. I can't.
Yeah, I got to agree with Chris on this one. I don't understand why. I mean, you have a four-game lead. Atlanta's not playing great. I'm not that concerned about Philadelphia. I get that these are games that you want to win and you're short on pitching, but he's too important. And I'm so torn tonight because I love him. He's such a must-watch. He's a phenomenal pitcher. But I'm terrified that at some point during this game or after the game, something's going to happen and this is going to turn into a thing yet again. So I can't say that at the end of the game tonight, I will feel great about where the Mets are and or DeGrom is.
Yeah, I can't either. And I hope I'm wrong. But, I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, this is two straight starts. And what bothers me the most, it feels like, just listening to Luis Rojas, it feels like Jacob DeGrom is the one dictating whether or not he's going to pitch. Like, haven't we learned our lesson yet? Have we not? Like, he told you he felt fine, and then you had to, I mean, now all of a sudden you get a, you know, my, comes out with the elbow, I'm fine for my next start, then he comes out with the shoulder. Now he says he's fine again. I don't know how that's possible. I don't.
All righty. The Islanders play again tonight. Game five. Game fives can only be described as pivotal, I would assume. So pivotal game five. That's a game you can hear on our air, 7:30, right here, 98.7 ESPN. So Dave promised retribution after Rick changed his Twitter avatar over the weekend to Dave wearing an Islanders jersey. I've heard from both sides that they claim to have their people working on it this morning. So, Chris, can you tell me who you're taking?
What people does he have working on what? He's already done it.
I can tell you definitively there is a... There's another bullet being ready to fire.
All right, wow. He's putting more in the chamber.
Ready. I have an arsenal. I have an arsenal ready to be dropped upon you.
You have no idea how to do
changed.
It. Sherry's sleeping. You have no idea how to do it.
Oh, I'm going to figure it out. I got two kids under the...
I want to go to war. Come on. I want to go to war. We'll take you to war, okay?
We'll go to war. Let's go.
I have TJ. I have Nico.
So, Chris, can you tell me who you're taking in this back and forth? Rick has his hired guns of social media savants. I have no idea who they are. Dave is seemingly ready to turn the Rothenberg Podcast Network and the millions of TikTok viewers against Rick.
1.4 million.
So can you tell me who you're taking in this?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you who's going to win in this, RJ. It's going to be DCR because I'm going to sit back with my popcorn and watch Dave and Rick go at it. It's going to be epic. I can't wait for it. This is one of those things, RJ, that I know I'm not going to be disappointed by. This is must-listen radio, appointment radio. I can't wait for it. I can't wait for it, especially if the Islanders win tonight. Oh, I'm going to love it.
Oh, God, I hope Tampa wins.
Yeah, I would say, listen, you get your TJ. I would say that I had BJ working on it, but I'm married, so we all know that's not true. I'm second-guessing this. I may decide that, you know, I want to be nice.
Listen, no, don't be that guy, Rick. Don't be nice.
The ball is in your court.
No.
You have until 8 o'clock this morning. If it's down, I do nothing. If it's up, you've started a war.
Rick, you can't back down now. You can't back off it now.
I'm feeling a little Ben Simmons-ish right now.
No, but he's laying down
the gauntlet.
I
swear to God, I'll foul you intentionally if you keep this thing up.
You got to push him.
He's not stable right now, Chris, though. He's not stable. Like, I don't know. We don't know what he's capable of.
Yeah, but that's never stopped you in the past.
I don't want to jeopardize the relationship.
And you know what as well? It's not good karma. It's not. For the Islanders to be playing around like that, it's not good karma for you. And if they lose this game tonight because you've done it, you won't be able to live with yourself.
But I changed my avatar to you in an Islanders jersey, and they had one of the biggest wins since almost ever. I mean, since the 80s, they had their biggest win.
Yeah, but they almost gagged it away.
Ugh. Almost doesn't count. They won.
All right, leave it up then. Leave it up.
I'm thinking about changing it. I don't know. I think our friendship is more important to me than this battle.
I bet.
I'd be very disappointed if you changed it, Rick. Very disappointed.
I don't know. I'm considering it. Just so people know, I'm considering it.
All right, good. Then you got to stay tuned to see what happens at 8 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. 7.